Welcome everyone to the Commission on Reapportionment. It is 6:05 and I will call the meeting to order. And for benefit of those who are not on Zoom or not on Zoom yet, would you mind doing a roll and the commissioners will respond here?
Yes, I have Regis Obajewski.
Here.
Sarah DeStefano.
Here. Well done, by the way. That's what it is.
Andy Monk.
Here.
Donna Lutz is not with us yet. Kenneth Panza.
Present.
Travis Rask.
Here.
And Kathleen Waite.
Present.
So you have a quorum, Chairman.
We have a quorum. Thank you. Okay, so I'm calling for a motion and a second to approve the minutes of the Commission on Reapportionment meeting as of September 8th. So may I have a motion, please?
I motion to approve them.
All right, thanks, Andy. Second, Sarah, thank you very much.
And for the record, Donna Lutz just joined us.
Welcome, Donna.
Thank you.
What happened?
It's me. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. We're glad it's you. Even better. So is there any discussion from among the commissioners on the minutes of September 8th? Okay. Are there any questions of clarification? Probably not. So we have a motion and a second. And so all those in favor of accepting the minutes from September 8th, please vote by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
And, okay. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. The vote appears unanimous. Thank you very much. The third item on the agenda is the public comment on the agenda. So I would ask, first of all, from the commissioners, are there any comments about the items on the agenda, either for clarification or something is missing? So any comments on that, on the agenda, commissioners? Okay. Anyone else who is on Zoom, any comment about the agenda as you see it or as you know it? Okay. All right, thank you very much. We'll move on to item four in the agenda, which was raised by Andy Monk last month. And it has to do with the Ulster County Board of Elections. And so this is our feature film for tonight. Thank you very much, Commissioners Ashley Dittus and John Quigley. The Commission on Reapportionment are pleased that both of the commissioners accepted our invitation. And before I ask you to do your presentation or your commentary, I just want to remind all of us that the role of the Board of Elections is really at the end point of all of our work, so that on July 20th of next year, 2022, we have to have in place a finalized version, one that's voted on by all of the and approved by all of the by the commissioners, by a majority of the commissioners, and we are to submit that to the Board of Elections for disposition. So that one word, disposition, might be what you're going to be speaking to us about tonight, but we're anxious to hear that. So in any order, alphabetical, Ashley Dittus, or in any order that the two of you may have come up with in the meantime, it's fine with us. So please proceed and welcome.
Thank you for having both of us. I see John is on too. We work together on this project. This is obviously not something that we do every day. It's every 10 years. So 10 years ago, I was at the Board of Elections. I was a clerk. I didn't have a senior role, but I was certainly there helping with the application, the administrative side of of the work of that committee. I will say that our experience a decade ago was, it was not the best. It was pretty typical from what we've heard, though, from other boards of elections across the state, where the meets and bounds, the descriptive language of the district boundaries was essentially the best source of data that was received by the boards. And then putting physical pen to paper, and I'm talking about highlighters, crayons were used, colored pencils, it was not very sophisticated. And as a result of that lack of preparedness, or really a rush job, because I know that there was outstanding factors as to why it took so long for the board to get it, to get the final product. Because of those reasons, our management of people's election districts and the street file maintenance that we do has been a cleanup from that first starting point, which was rocky at best. So myself and there's only two other clerks that are still around that were around back then. We have sort of been preparing our staff of what to expect, and just letting them know that technology obviously has come a really long way since that process. Our office, our software that we use to maintain the voter rolls, we have recently acquired shapefile data. So we're getting used to what that looks like. Our vendor has coded all of our streets in this manner. So luckily for us, also the information services department has a very good handle on shapefile software and what that looks like. So I am a lot more optimistic, especially since we'll have a lot of lead time to put this in place, that we won't have a lot of those same problems. It won't be as rushed as it was back in 2011 when we got that project to do. So our concern, John and I, we've talked about this from our standpoint, is we do get the final product, making sure that those descriptive language, the shapefile software, is something that we can work with, so that we don't have to spend the next decade cleaning up people's election district files. Because if we make a mistake on someone's election district, the consequences are pretty bad. They could be coded in the wrong school district or fire district, or a lot of the sub-districts that we do, the library districts also is something that we code for all of our voters. So every voter has these district assignments that are connected to their street address. And for us, having that be accurate is paramount. That's the foundational building block of what we do at the Board of Elections. And John and I are very invested in making sure that that information is accurate. And I come from the standpoint of, let's make sure that it's right from the start, and that we don't have to spend the next 10 years finding out through circumstances that somebody was miscoded. I mean, that's a really bad situation for us. So that's the first thing. We're really interested in having a good data set so that we can follow it in a methodical way, and making sure that the voters, when we apply these district boundaries to them, that's done accurately on our end. And so that'll be giving us enough time so that we can do that while we do all the other processes that we do. That's going to be incredibly important. I can't understate that enough. Before I go on, do you have anything on that, John?
Well, so I would just add, since you guys are being given this opportunity, either an opportunity or a disadvantage, however you look at it for yourselves. But since you have so much time right now, between now and getting to draw the districts to include the individuals such as Tom Hines from the Information Services Department, in some of your how this data is exported and how it is imported, so that you can help save us a step from making our lives difficult and making sure that this will be done in a smooth and timely manner once it's executed and those lines are drawn, as well as potentially if you find it difficult or even necessary, reaching out to our vendor who is responsible for our voter registration system, which we would be more than willing to provide you guys with a point of contact on who to speak with there to better understand your end results and how they impact our office and how we get this into a dedicated system to draw these lines correctly. I don't know, because I may be skipping in and out a bit, if Ashley had mentioned regarding poll sites, we would like to just heavily advise that if you have an opportunity to see where our poll sites are mapped, that you can overlap that with where some of these districts are drawn. There have been situations in years past where districts are drawn and the poll site is on the opposite side of the street. And we have to then send that voter all the way across their district to a new poll site. Other than that, I would just emphasize, use the data as presented to you. And I don't believe we'll have to do any altering of it, but you guys got a challenging job and I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. But I do hope that Regis, wherever your backyard is, I hope that's in Ulster County somewhere.
Yeah, just to speak on the poll site issue, knowing where those poll sites are, it is important because our voters, for us from an election standpoint, redirecting people to a new poll site when they're used to going to the same site for every election, that is something we try to avoid as much as we can. They're used to going to the same site. It's part of their voting plan. While we've, since last redistricting, we've added different ways that people can vote. Usually voting on election day is still what people think of, and they want to go to the same place that they always have. And so looking at where those sites are, and like John said, we do have an example of where Cedar Grove Firehouse and Saugerties, voters that live across the street are in a different legislative district. So they have to go and vote across town, which is like 15 minutes away. And every election they call and complain about it because that wasn't in people's minds when they did the last redistricting. They didn't really look at where the sites were and make those determinations. Poll sites are like schools. They're part of someone's community. And when that gets changed, it disrupts that. So to the best of your ability, if that's something that you keep in your mind, that really speaks to the spirit of what this whole process is about. And that's reflecting our communities and their political boundaries. So if you don't have the poll site map, we can also provide that to you. We have 83 poll sites in Ulster County that we run every November election. And if we have a big primary in June, we use those 83 sites for the big primaries when both the Republicans and Democrats are having a primary. So keeping those the same, or keeping the voters as much as we can in the same sites, and making those instances where we have to redirect people as minimized as we can, that will help the voters avoid that confusion point, which when they get confused, they might just say, I'm not going to vote today because I don't want to go to a new place. Another thing that sort of tripped us up the last time is when a street gets overly segmented and it's in multiple, like a block radius is in multiple districts, that has confused a lot of voters. I know a lot of the times that could be unavoidable in situations, but not having as frequent segments along neighborhood lines is another thing that I think would be helpful when we get the end product to try to acclimate people to these new district boundaries. We see like one side of the street votes in one district, the other side of the street votes in another district. That's really confusing when it's chopped in half like that. So that's another thing to think of. I know you have a lot of things to think about, but I know what we've heard from the last go round. So those are just really the negative aspects of the last redistricting that we've heard with the most frequency. Why does my neighbor who lives two doors down have to vote in a different poll site and they have a different representative and everything else is the same? Our school district is the same. Our assembly person is the same. So having that kind of neighborhood feel of the districts, I think makes more sense to voters when they get the end product.
Ashley?
Hey, Ken. Hi.
Hi. Can you provide us with some examples of where that is a real problem with the street segmentation?
Yeah, sure. I actually used to live on one on Clifton Avenue in Kingston, where my house is, where I used to live. You know, a couple of weeks ago I moved, but I still have my house there. And that house is in District 7. Across the street is in District 5. And then two doors down is District 9. So there's two different legislative districts. It's really confusing in our neighborhood, who votes for who, what's going on. But we can pull that from the office. We have all of those specific examples because we've been dealing with them for a decade. So we're happy to provide.
Yeah, that would think it'd be useful because as we shift these census blocks around, that's that we want to keep in mind. I mean, Kingston is particularly awkward.
It is awkward. for sure. We can put some work together and get you a report. If you think that will be helpful, we're happy to do that.
You know, we want us to solve a problem. If we have the list, we can at least take a look at it.
Yep. I'm going to write it down so I don't forget tomorrow to get it going. Any other questions for us? Well, office also, we're a resource to you. If you need any data, we're really good at keeping the records. So we're happy to provide even the info from a decade ago, what we got, what it looked like, to help you if you think it'll be helpful.
Yeah, I think it would be helpful, Ashley, and I think beginning with you two folks, beginning with the end in mind, if you will, you know, how is this going to impact voters? I looked at your webpage, and I even noodled around a little bit and put my address in. Bingo, the thing pops. It's beautiful. You do a really nice job. There's no confusion whatsoever. If you want to do early voting or you file an application for absentee, it's all there. How to do it? How do you apply? The time frames. It really is very logical. I fear that I think we have to keep in mind a lot of things, but in a sense, the priority of redistricting really has to do with counting heads and not voters. That's part of it. Yeah. And these things change. The new number is we have to form districts that are 7,815 people. That's the latest number it seems. And you know, how do we get within 5% of that number? That's tricky. I'm not saying that it's impossible to pay attention. In fact, the charter, our county charter, says that, you know, we have to keep districts compact and contiguous while taking into account, and I'm quoting from the charter, the existing town, city, village, and election district boundaries, defining geographic features, equal population within the applicable law. That's the hard part, equal population within the applicable law, but giving no consideration to providing advantage to one or another political party. And I know that that's not, you're not trying to do that last piece. You're just trying to make sure that this is sensible. So I think
also counters,
yeah.
To sort of throw on your radar there, because you mentioned the districts as they are, it's due to the timetable. You may also see the state drawing their redistricting lines. They have the authority to change some of those election districts themselves. So should the state pass a different map, which unintendedly changes some of the district lines, it will then have a snowball effect on your redistricting.
Well, thank you for that comforting piece of news, John.
Just to clarify, they're changing state districts, right? They can't change the county election districts.
They can change the election districts, the very minute district below what is used to create these districts.
You mean,
in other words, they can cut a neighborhood. No, they have never done that in Ulster County, but they can cut a neighborhood in one assembly district or one Senate district, and then the board has to go in and apply those changes. And that's an election district change. So we would be coding voters to be in the correct assembly district, which then would have an impact on the election district. So for us, we draw the election district boundaries based off of what we get from the state reapportionment program and also from the county. So I fully expect, and it's part of this process, the election district boundaries will change so that we have voters coded correctly for their representatives. But minimally, to change them, it helps us on the end product side, but it's part of it. We will be changing districts based off of what we get from both this group as well as from what we get from the state. Luckily, last time around, the state drew all of their lines on municipal lines, so that didn't impact us. And I don't really see them doing it differently because it's what you're doing on a massive scale. But in the event that they did do that, we would have to go in and drill down and figure out where those lie. Now, there are extreme examples across the state where they've cut like a college dormitory into two different election districts, where floors 1 through 4 are in one and floors 5 through 7 are in another. We're not going to do that in Ulster County because that's a bit chaotic, but that's an example of those things happening across the state that we've heard about.
But you're talking about like New Paltz has 10 election districts. You're talking Correct. About that level of election district.
Okay. Yes. Yep. Those boundaries.
So if they happen to cut across to town, you still can do the state ones without changing the districts that this committee is making.
Exactly.
As long as they do that.
I have a couple things, responses. One, we do have the polling data. So the latest I have is 2017. So if you have a shapefile that's more recent, share it with us. I can import it into the program. That's a good start.
Yeah, for sure.
Our software, new software this time has a meets and bounds reporting feature. So hopefully that will help a lot.
Yes, for sure.
So those are two little things that will hopefully help a lot in the process.
That's really good to know because the meets and bounds, that information, that's really what they went off last time because they didn't have the shapefile data. So having both of them together, it's just going to make this process that much easier to apply.
I'll even share a link to it in the chat so you can see what it does.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question, if I might.
Yeah, please.
There's been two schools of thought on how this commission draws the districts. One was to start from scratch, just the numbers and start completely from scratch. And the other one was to start with the existing districts and adjust the boundaries as necessary. Do you have, because the map they're going to get is going to say this district is over like 2,000 and this one's under 500 and they could just in some cases adjust the boundaries. Do you have any recommendation for which way they attack this?
Um, It seems from just hearing the description that you said that it would be easier to look, work at what we have and adjust, but at the same time, that might not work for all of the districts. I know some of them have become really disproportionate since they were drawn. So that might not be as helpful, but some of them are gonna look, I think, relatively the same, like our Catskill Mountain District. What's that, District 23? That 22? Thank you. You'd think I didn't look at them all the time. We look at them every day. That one, I haven't really seen a lot of changes there in our, at least our voter population. That's what we look at all the time. We don't look at the census data, but other ones are going to be different. I know Kingston has had a lot of changes. Even in New Paltz has had a lot of changes too. So I'm not sure. I think it's both of those schools of thought are pretty valid.
The information is based off the census data. The census data, the way it is currently, suggests that there is no abnormally large percentage growth in a certain neighborhood. And the argument could be made that adjusting from where you're at will save you guys the most amount of time, considering that you probably will not have too much time once you get in there between now and when you have to pass something. But if you choose to start from scratch, I would just take into consideration the geographical boundaries that I think most of these districts do. I can't say all, but most of them do. And then the age-old question becomes, how many seats does the city of Kingston get, or does the city of Kingston become a overlapping district, which I don't envy you in when trying to figure out how to solve.
And I just have one observation about the polling places. I live on the far east side of the town of New Paltz, and my polling place is the farthest west. I drive past every other polling place to get to my polling place. So I'm not sure how looking at the polling places may still give me a different polling place if I was to vote closer to where I live. Just an observation.
Well, that's what I mean by the poll sites. Like, we can change the districts if the poll sites are anchoring what the surrounding neighborhood looks like. I agree. It makes more sense for someone to vote at the nearest poll site, but the way that the legislative boundaries were cut didn't make that necessarily a practical way. Because we at our poll sites, to the best that we can, we want all of the voters voting the same kind of ballot, because if they accidentally get the wrong ballot, then they're not voting for the people that represent their neighborhood. So we only have a few of our poll sites that have more than one ballot style, meaning that there's different candidates on the ballots. So we try to put all of the voters in a poll site where only the same candidates are going to appear on the ballot, as best that we can do that, because we don't want people getting the wrong ballot style for whatever reason. They go to the wrong table, or an inspector accidentally issues them the wrong ballot. So there's obviously preventative things in place to stop people from doing that, but the best preventative thing is to have everybody who votes at a poll site all getting the same contests on the ballot.
I'm just not sure if what the information we're going to get is going to be clear to the commissioners looking at the map. If it was just the polling places superimposed on the map, I don't think it would be clear that someone that lives on this side of town drives all the way across town. I just want to make that observation while you folks are here, if anybody has a way around that.
Frankly, it sounds like with 83 polling places, like this is something we can keep in mind, but it cannot be a driver of our discussions, unfortunately. It's certainly something that we're not looking to make extra work for the Board of Elections, but our mission is to redistrict this county based on the census data and not the polling places. So while I know that this causes administrative issues for the Board of Elections, and we can try and do our best, but at the end of the day, it's going to be based on the population and not where people are to vote. I hate to say it, but that's just the nature of this.
Yeah, I agree, Sarah. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a great point, Sarah. I mean, we do have different starting points. I mean, if you look at the charter, and if you were to refer to Fawn's question again, of where do we start from scratch, or do we start with what exists? It's really a punt, you know, because it says please take everything into consideration, but follow the law on equal population. I mean, that's the law that we have to follow. But you know, to take into consideration with what is, but our starting point really is the populations, the numbers. And you know, and just to Ashley and to John, you know, we're nice people, but we can see how, you know, you could love to hate us, you know, in due time. I don't know. We're not looking to be loved or hated, you know, we certainly understand the endpoint of where you folks come in and how you try to manage. Or even as you were saying earlier, Ashley, you know, to clean up the mess, you know, even after 10 years. Well, we can at least promise we won't use crayons and colored pencils, but we'll try not to make it as last minute as possible. In fact, we're champing at the bit to really get started in earnest. We haven't begun, and I think this discussion is really really helpful, because we know where we're headed, that we need to be sincere, we need to be fair, and we need to be lawful. And so we're really going to be starting with what's lawful. So you know all the considerations, all the things that you brought up, I took a page and a half of my own notes from you, thank you. I didn't realize that you know, all the work that goes into it on your end. I do now. I don't take that as a threat. it's very real. So does anyone else have any comments or questions for Ashley and or John? Any of the commissioners? No? Ashley and John, is there anything that popped in your mind in the last minute or so that you want to get in? I think you told us quite a bit already.
No, I think we hit all our talking points. Do you have anything, John?
I would say no.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, thank you very much. You're more than welcome to stay on for the remainder of our meeting. Or if you have things to do and places to go, we understand that too. But thank you very much for taking the time to be with us and spelling things out for us in a way that's unambiguous. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Have a good rest of your meeting.
Thank you so much. Okay. The fifth item on our agenda is the update of the mapping software. And Dennis and Rob, I know you're going to be taking us on a little bit of a tour. And I personally want to thank Rob for catching me red-handed for not reading his emails that he sent to us in between meetings. I thought I was being so smart and so chair-like, you know, and ask a really cool question that was already answered. So thanks a lot, Rob. As promised, Rob will also be giving us a primer on census blocks, which, you know, Ken knows quite a bit about. He always talks about census blocks, and the rest of us are hoping to catch up to Ken someday. With that, I'd like to invite Rob, Dennis, and whatever order both of you are here, I take it.
Yes, we're both here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, however you want to approach this,
sure. I'm very
appreciative.
Sure. I have a presentation.
Sure, Dennis.
And I did PowerPoint, so we have a census geography primer, and also have some surprises for you with adjusted census results, including mapping of the 2011 districts with the adjusted data, and I also have some software updates for you. And we might even get a couple demos too. So I should, Fawn, I need to share my screen.
Okay, I just looked at that. Let me see if I can go into this again. Oh, I see. Something called participants. I missed something again. There you go.
I can do it now.
There you go.
Let's hopefully I'm doing, that's calling that one. There we go. All right. Everybody see that? Just a presentation. It looks like a presentation version, not my software version.
It does.
It looks like.
Excellent. Okay. That's all right. So get the easy, more basic stuff out of the way. First, census geography. And just so you know, I took this from the census itself. So 30 experts. So two types of data, one that's legal or administrative. So states, counties, municipal, municipalities, villages, basically your political and school districts too. Those are in the census. And then you have statistical. So census tracts are the largest, census block groups and census blocks. There's also something called metropolitan and micropolitan areas. Those are more for things like housing funding and for this department, transportation funding. Urban areas come into that. And then there's something called census designated places. Census designated places are basically units of geography that are not, don't have a political, but are often things you refer to, like Malden in Sorites, not political boundary, but in
Accord, Gerhongsen, Stone Ridge.
Not political. Rosendale is the best example, because it used to be a political. Now it's just a place. So everything feeds in this way. So here's your hierarchy from the nation down to the states, counties, census tracts, block groups, and blocks being the smallest for our purposes. And just, this is a little graphic representation. So you might have, it actually is a little bit counterintuitive, but if you start in the lower left-hand corner, block is the smallest piece, blocks are a piece of the block groups are pieces of tracts, and then they might be a portion of a city. And sometimes cities are in towns, not in Ulster County, but sometimes they're also portions of towns. And of course, towns are portions of counties. So just a little bit of information. Census tracts usually contain about 4,000 people.
Rob, I'm going to stop you, Rob. I'm just, sure. Just ask if the commission has any questions about that geography. I'm going to ask them to slow down a little bit.
Sure. Anything?
It makes sense to me.
All right.
Yep.
The real difference between
Rob, the apportionment committee can work down to a block level. Am I correct?
They can work down to the block level. So for our purposes, we can work to block groups, census tracts, and we can use what's called the minor civil divisions to form it. I mean, we could technically use CDPs to form it, but those might not align with everything else. So I stay away from those, but
CDPs are census
designated places. I wouldn't use those as a building block. The blocks are the basic, or think of them as your proteins. They build up to the whole. So census tracts, for those doing demographic work, those are basically your significant sample size if you're doing research. The block groups are the smallest units for when you see the ACS, the American Community Survey, or when you used to have the long form, that was the lowest level you used to get to that because of disclosure issues. For the decennial census, we can get all the way down to the block level, and that's your 100% level. So, any questions? You'll see them in action once I start doing the break out the demo.
Rob Sregis, now census blocks are these are formed by the Census Bureau, I take it, right?
Correct.
So it really has nothing to do with preconceiving a number. So it doesn't relate to us in terms of numbers. It's just a statistical tracking of sorts that's that's bounded by some geographical. Yeah.
Miss, you'll see a lot of census blocks that actually have zero population though.
Okay. What are they, water lake behind me?
They could be. Unless that's out to sea and beyond the municipal boundary.
That'd be Japan way out there.
Okay, so stuff you've been waiting for. Adjusted data census results. So you've seen this. I've shifted a little bit. So there, and I'm going to hit the next button here. So 10 out of 23 districts have too great a variance from the mean. This is using the adjusted data. And they must either reduce or increase in size. So the ones at the top, those are the ones that are too big. Those have to reduce in size. And by reduce in size, not only population, usually that will be geographic area consistently with that. The corollary, down at the bottom, you have those five districts. Those have to increase in population, and they'll also likely increase in geographic size in order to capture that population. Now, these are numbers. Hard to tell what that means without looking at the actual thing. So, map I did. There are two different color ramps. One is a yellow kind of based ramp, and one is a green based. The yellow one is the ones that are less than a mean, and the green ones are greater than the mean. The dark green are the ones that are not compliant, and the mustard colored ones are the ones that are basically out of compliance as well. And those are ones that we'll have to work with. So you'll see, for example, town of Woodstock, that one expands into Hurley, that will actually have to reduce in size. Let's see, what else? Let me move on a little bit. So we can come back to this.
While you're there, 15 and 13 are the districts that have the prisons, by the way.
That's correct. And those are the ones that have to expand now. So what you'll see, so for example, one of the easy things that you can see though is Rochester is too big. Rochester went into Kerhonkson, which went to a Worsing. It can probably fold back into Rochester. And then you can see that 15 expand. For example, that's one change they might be able to see. But you can see this is actually, it's interesting because it's a geographic shift. It used to be for most of my time here that the southern portion of the county was the one that was gaining all the population. With this adjusted data, it's flipped. And just to call it out a little bit more. So you can see that the impact is countywide, and it's going to go up and down a lot. The good news, there are two good news, points of good news. I'm going to go back to this. District number 22, as was mentioned earlier, which is Shandaken, Denning, Hardenberg, and Olive, is off by two people. So highly recommend, the committee may not have to do anything with that. District 1 in Sorgerties is in a similar situation, but it's made of blocks, the census blocks. So the census blocks physically may have shifted. So while it's only 7 under, which is very good statistically, might have to have some shifts just because of the way it's constructed. So, but not much. So those are very good starting points because they're pretty stable. Any questions? So these are just some starting points. So like I mentioned, District 22 has a 0.03% deviation from the mean. That's exactly two people. And Sorgerties, that west northwest Sorgerties is 7 people off from the mean, or 0.09%. So just some general recommendations from me, if you'll take. Except for Districts 22 and 21, you might want to start from scratch, given the amount of variance in the other districts, and go from there. And a good focus, as was mentioned, you want to make the districts as equal as possible. So you might want to, as a first draft, try to make them as equal as possible. And while taking in consideration the various portions of the charter, But then as you gather input, you look at the chart, you can make adjustments from there. So first cut might be the most equal by each district, but then you can take into the other factors into consideration, like polling places, boundaries of towns, things like that. So that would be a good process, I would think, as a first cut for doing this. Yeah.
Hey, Rob, can you go back and put your that one district map up, that red and white?
Absolutely.
And I just asked the committee to look at this, and then I'm going to take you back, Rob, if you could take you back to the chart, the spreadsheet form. And then you can see what happens in Southern Ulster County with districts 13, 15, and 11, or 13 and 15, where the variance is significant. And that's pulling that prison population out. And then the one in Ellenville as well, that gets to pull that out. So from my perspective, just looking at this, and I haven't looked at it a lot, Rob has kind of gone through it. Your biggest challenge is going to be in the southern half of the county. Mm-hmm. And then from there, into the community, into the areas in and around the city of Kingston. I would like to tell you that this is an adjustment of boundaries. But the more I look at it, the more I think that a nice, good, fresh look at this, maybe the way the commission goes, particularly in the southern half of the county, that we're not moving boundaries around, you're literally trying to say what's the most compact best district that you can come up with in these areas.
And just keep in mind, the last time we did this, the commission had to do in about 2 months. They had the programs we had to do about 2 months, 2.5 months. This time we have until next May. So we do have a lot more time. And that one was done from scratch in that time.
Rob, did you get any data loaded or not?
Well, I do have some things. One, I have the adjusted data on the desktop version, so I can show you all that. I can share the screen and take you through that a little bit. But as of last Thursday, the online version is up. But when they were excited and told me about it, all they had loaded was congressional and Senate data and didn't realize that we had other data. So we're working on that. We'll be loading up the actual local data, the adjusted data for your use. But I do have meantime, there's a link here that is, and I can show it to you, and I'll share it as well, the link. That's a quick start guide for it. And I'll show you the site too. Do you want to see the site first, or you want to see the desktop with the data first? Leave it up to the commission.
Your choice, Rob.
My choice. Let's see the. Let's go to the website, because that's what everybody's using.
Thank you.
All right. I'm gonna stop this share. And let's go to. Hopefully this works. Nope. That is not it. That is the software. Let me do a different share. There we are. Everybody see my browser? So this is what it's gonna look like. This is the basics of the site. So the first thing you'll note is that we need a splash page before this, which has all the specifications and information people who are going to be registering for this need, so that they have some basics from the Ulster County side. Otherwise it's a caliper product. But what you'll note before you even log in, there's tips. And then there's a help page. And this is actually the link to the quick start guide. And it tells you pretty much how to use it. And I believe on every page of this, there'll be access to help. That'll be right there for you. Plus there are some webinars online, I believe. There's nothing on here right now. Oh, it didn't want me to log in. Okay, I'm not logging right. Actually, I should be sharing my screen while I'm doing this. Hang on. Fortunately, nobody can see hashes. Okay. One second. Oh, that's weird. Bear with me. There we go. Okay, I'm sharing my screen again. Zoom. All right. Share. There. All right, so I'm in. So this is what you'll come to when you do it. After you register for an account, it's pretty simple to register for an account. So what you'll do is you'll have plans here that you have worked on before, but if you're starting a new plan, you would go there. As you can see, there's only House and Senate data up here right now. We don't need that. I'm gonna have them remove that because we don't need that. There'll also be an option to work with shared plans as well. See, the problem is that we don't have our starting points. If I select this and I create a, this would be a house plan if I was to do that. I haven't tried this yet because I don't want to store anything on this server yet. But so we're up and running. We just need the data. So I'll shift my share. Any questions on that so far? But
no, I'm wondering if our election office, our election commissioners are on.
They are not.
If they have left. I mean, we can remind them that they have the ability to create their own plans.
Yes.
I know they kept telling you that they were sorry that it was your job, but you can make it part of their job.
Shoe on the other foot. Yeah.
So I'm going to go to.
I think that might be a little problematic, though. I mean, where is supposed to be an independent commission? I would, you know, they're citizens too. I understand, but again, we went through a process to keep like state and county officials and elected officials from being members of this commission, and it starts to get like real fuzzy when we're inviting elected and you know appointed and state. You know, employees to be making maps. So it's one thing if they do it on their own, but for us to invite them feels like a gray area that I think maybe we should try and stay away from.
No, I was literally considering them a members of the public, that they could actually do it as members of the
public. If they want to do it as members of the public.
Sure.
Not as an official capacity though.
Okay. just to further make the record clear, I find that a little bit problematic. Nope.
So do you see the caliper screen, the software that's on there right now?
Yes.
Yes. So this is what you're working with is the online version is going to look extremely similar to this. So this is a blank slate map here. Okay. And I can, for example, so what I can do is I can create a new district from the unassigned, which is everything. And since we know how good Olive and Hardenburg, and we can click the towns, and then we can update the district. And it'll ask me for a district name. We can rename the districts with the final plan, by the way. So for this one, I could call it one. And there you go. And then it updates the field. So it tells me I'm at 7,817 people with a deviation of 2 and a 3%. That's a pretty good district. Mm-hmm. So that's how simple literally this process is. I mean, that's at the town level, that's at the county subdivision. But when you go down to the block level, that's when we get a little bit more. Anybody want me to go any particular place? Or is it my discretion?
You're in the city of Kingston, Rob.
City of Kingston. All right, let's go to City of Kingston. So, I mean, literally when we're in meetings though, what I'll be able to do hopefully is, and I should be able to do this, is if you all have plans, I'll be able to bring them up and show them to you all at the same time so they can overlay each other. And we can compare and contrast. And we can have one plan as like a base plan that we edit. And literally you can say, Rob, click there. Let's see how that looks. So we'll go all the way in. Up, down. So this is what it looks like. And it'll show you the population numbers as you go. And right now I'm doing a new district. Unassigned from the unassigned data. And it's at the census block level because I know it's things can change real fast when you're in the city of Kingston here. So I slip and select it. And right now I'm respecting the city boundary, for example. So, but one thing we may want to consider, and this is something I like to keep on when I do it, is I bring in the imagery. I like to bring in the satellite photos. And this way, even though you have a town boundary here, if it comes to it, you can see that the land use here, how this relates, this is Miller's Lane. This is that whole area in Uptown Kingston, Miller's Lane. You know, you have the junior high school and the high school and middle school and the elementary school there. These relate better to this possibly than the town of Ulster. So it's just something to consider when we're making districts. I don't know if that will be the way you end up going or what you end up doing, but keeping the aerials in mind is a good way to keep neighborhoods together. So now a lot of times you have little slivers, like you could see, I just grabbed a rail trail there. There's no population. But yeah. So it's, yeah.
Where is it tracking? Where is it tracking your current totals as you go forward?
Do you see the top of the screen?
Yeah.
It says under day view here, I'm going to make it a little bigger. You see that?
Yep. Okay.
Yeah. So District 2 currently only has 1,248 people in it.
The purple, right? Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So I don't know how much more you want me to do, but or what you'd like to see. But this is what you're all going to be doing online. It's basically that when you're pointing and clicking, it's the same exact feature. For 99% of what you do with this software, you can complete with the online tool. And there are easier ways of doing it too. Like for example, I'm clicking one by one. You can do things like grab things by a circle. You can use a line, which is really helpful. So it's an easier way to just grab a whole bunch of things at once.
Oh, I see.
So, as you play with it, you'll get more comfortable with using the different tools. So as you can see, that is a long way to go. It's still minus 65%.
Wow.
So I don't know if you wanted me to do any more, but I can conclude there, or if you have any questions.
So if you have a district created, Rob,
yes,
and you want to, and you run into your either an overage or an underage, and you have to steal, or I shouldn't use the word steal, but if you have to adjust using the adjoining district, that gets a bit complicated because you're only dealing with unassigned now, right?
Right, but that's a good point. Let me show you something. So I'm doing a new district now, unassigned. So we're gonna do it right next door. Okay, I'm gonna finish that up. We're gonna call it District 3. All right, but now I'm like, oh, I want from District 3 in here. So what I can do is make my target District 2. I can take from District 3. And then it'll only take from District 3. And it'll automatically make it part of District 2. So pretty easy. You can also, if you want to undo things, you can shift it. There's a, let's see. So if my target is 2, that's unassigned. There's a way to, it's not. Okay. See this back and forth button? You can reverse your selection. So you can bring it back to the unassigned. So pretty intuitive.
The point being is that once you use the software, you'll figure out the command structure fairly quickly. Mm-hmm. Particularly with what your target is, what your source is. And so if you keep that in mind when you're using the software, it'll be a lot less confusing for you.
Yeah, it'll be good that hopefully they get the data up there soon and you all can start practicing. And the second I get that data up there, I'll email you and you can create accounts and then you can start practicing with it. And also if anybody needs help with it, I'm certainly available to provide technical support.
Rob, when you picked the city boundaries, is that something you said or you were just following a line on the map?
Right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just using blocks. So I could switch it. I could use county subdivision. And well, see, right now my source is district 2. So actually that was kind of interesting because I clicked on the county subdivision. And when I did it, it only took those things that were in district 2 for me. Because that was my source. But if I had unassigned when I did that, or all, it would have taken the whole city. So.
Okay.
Rob, you mentioned that there was a tutorial even before we get to even noodle around on our map. So I was just trying to follow your cursor around now because you're pretty quick. The tutorial explains it pretty easily.
Let me show it to you. Stop this share. Let's see, where's my web? There we go. I think, I don't know which one I put. Ah, got too many screens open. Did I close it? Hang on. You see my web browser now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you're right. In Map Aptitude now. There you go.
So this link, and I'm going to put it in the I'll put it in the chat.
I'll send you all the chat after the meeting.
Yeah. I put the in the chat. I got chat. Everyone, there we go. So that's the starter's guide. So it tells you how to create a map. This is right from starting how to use it right here. That's from there. So it's pretty, shows you how to modify district, how to create a district, modify district in the plan, and how to use each tool. And then also verifying some of your plans. So everything, all the basics that you'll need to do it are right there. And I think once you're in the program, you'll also be able to call up the help as well and ask probably some more specific questions. There's also some tutorials online as well.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I think once we get in and just start moving our own cursor around, we'll get a feel for it. But it seems easy the way you do it and the way you've explained it. Anybody have any questions of Rob and Dennis? Okay. All right. Well, I think our next item relates to this, and this is the update on the prison population. And Kristen Gamera, are you here tonight?
Hi.
Oh, hi. How are you? Thank you for following up on this from the last meeting. And so please proceed with what you found out.
The question presented to me was, does the county legislature have to act to utilize the data where the prison population is counted in their home residence? And the answer I found is in municipal home rule law, and it actually states that you shall use the data. It that the term population means residence, and for such purposes, no person shall be deemed to have gained or lost a residence or become a resident of a local government by being subject to the jurisdiction of Department of Corrections. So they keep their home residence, and it does not change by being in the Department of Corrections. So there's nothing to do. You simply use the data with the people in their home residence.
So it's a pretty simple answer. Yes, we have to follow the state law, and we will. We don't need a confirmation vote or anything like that from our county legislature. It just is, right? Correct. And so it seems that as Rob told us the last time, that Caliper is ahead of us on this, and we actually got the data from them. They got it from LATFOR, and so we're good to go. Is that a pretty good summary, Krista?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So the data has been adjusted for the prison populations.
Yes, that's all the data I showed you in the presentation and in Caliper on the software just now.
I mean, the census data would show the people in the prisons, and then it has to be modified to show to take those out and actually reallocate them to their residence. So is that the data we're receiving? Is that it's been
the data I showed you has the prisoners adjusted?
Okay, that's the question. Thank you.
Well,
okay. Okay. Well, that's very clear and very quick. So thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, Kristen, for double checking that. Anything else before we move on? Okay. Item number 7 is some old business, and it's setting criteria for public mapping submissions. Travis raised this the last time, and he has graciously agreed to, chair a committee to begin to shape criteria for public submissions into the same process that we're talking about. So these aren't instructions; these are criteria. These are close and dear to the heart of Sarah DiStefano, of what we would expect from the public and how we would expect them to use this and submit it. Is that correct, folks?
I agree.
Yeah. Travis, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's necessary.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think it's, let me ask Andy. Andy, do you think it's necessary for us to do this now to get a start on it?
I mean, I think since we have this time now to run all this preparation work, I think it's, a great idea to use the time productively. And so coming up with these guidelines now, or at least a framework for how we want to think about these guidelines would be helpful. I'm not sure what the process would be if, as we're going, I would like to wait to finalize the guidelines until after we've had a chance to play with the software, just so that we will know if there are any particular areas that we want to ensure or consider. But yeah, I think I don't see it as a bad idea to start that process now, just to come up with what we'd like from the public.
I think it's pretty straightforward. I'm just going to use the charter and, go down that list and make our criteria based on that. And like you said, we can make the criteria subject to change based on, popular opinion and further use. But at this point, I think it's pretty straightforward what we need to do. But if it needs to get into writing a little bit further, that's not a problem at all.
And Rob, is it true that we can actually set up the software to not allow them to submit plans unless it meets certain criteria?
Correct. I haven't seen the admin side. I'm trying to get admin access to the side of it. But you should be able, some of the basic things you should be able to set are, 1, complete plan. Mm-hmm. Has to be complete. Has to have used all the data. 2, they have to fit within that margin, -5 + 5. Mm-hmm. You submitted. So I would keep it as simple as possible. I would just use those 2 and then also note that they should respect the boundaries and all that and the polling places. And those are considerations, not requirements.
Right.
That's my sense.
I agree.
But as far as getting it into the board, the commission's consideration, I would say that they have to meet at least those 2 criteria. You don't want to be looking at partial plans or plans that don't meet the minimums.
Right.
That's my thought.
Travis and Andy, would you be willing to lead us in an effort to these ends that we're just speaking of?
Mm-hmm. I would.
Okay. I guess what we need to do, this is procedural. Should we take a vote on creating a subcommittee that would be activated?
You could formally vote on it, but I believe as chairman, you can just form a subcommittee.
Okay. Okay. So why don't we consider this subcommittee to have begun and taking both Travis and Andy's suggestion that we're not going to finalize anything for some time until we've dug into the data. I think that's part of the wisdom that Ken Pence had offered me earlier today. So I think that's great advice. So, okay. So let's consider that to be a new subcommittee to set criteria for public mapping submissions. Okay. Okay, new business, the eighth item, other than what we discussed tonight, does anyone here, any one of the commissioners have anything to suggest regarding new business for our consideration? A few things came up last time. Anybody can feel free to suggest something that, you know, if we want to invite somebody else for the next meeting, whatever that is, you know, that occurred, as I say, last month. So any new business we want to recognize tonight and maybe do something with later?
I currently don't have anything.
Okay.
Anything.
All right. All right. Then for second to the last item on the agenda, we'll open the floor for public comment on anything relevant to the work of the Commission on Reapportionment. Yeah, if anyone is on this call who would rather submit anything via email, just look up reapportionment on the county site to get the email address. So we would your suggestions are so noted.
Carol or Patricia, if you want to say anything, you'd have to unmute.
Right.
Sounds like a no.
Okay. All right. All right. Then I'm going to request a motion for adjournment. Anyone?
Before we adjourn, if I could just ask a quick question. Sure. Without putting any pressure on our friends in the planning committee, do we have a sense of when we'll be getting the data and access to the online website, just so that we, you know what to look forward to and not in any accusatory way of it.
They should have the data. They just need to figure out how to get it up there.
Okay.
Working with them. I spoke to them yesterday. Hopefully they're working on it. And it could be as soon as the end of this week. It could be longer. I don't have a time frame on how long it will take them to get it up there.
Okay. So we're waiting on that.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll push them for a time frame. How's that? We'll try to make sure that they give us a time frame, so that we're not just waiting on them. We'll ask them for a time frame.
I follow them regularly.
Thank you very much.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much. Okay. So a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Motion.
Okay, Donna, second, please.
Second.
Second.
Thank you, Kathy. Okay, all those in favor. Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, all.